Have you planned your content marketing strategy for 2024? If not knowing what to say is stopping you from creating and sharing content on social media, I have a solution for you. Download your copy of 25 content ideas to kickstart your social media posts, where I share content ideas that you can easily adapt to your business. Just click on the link in the show notes to grab your copy. Richmond, welcome to Content Marketing School, where we will dive into content marketing strategies specifically for coaches, consultants, and entrepreneurs. Discover how effective content marketing can elevate your brand and grow your business. And if you enjoy the show, don't forget to hit that follow button. Hi, I'm Annette Richmond. Welcome to Content Marketing School. Thanks so much for joining me today. While this show is, of course, focused on content marketing, one thing that is very essential for every coach, consultant, entrepreneur, small business owner is networking, connecting with other people. And so I decided to pull this interview from Sona Bahal from my content vault, an interview that I did with her on my Smarter Business Moves podcast, all about networking. And one of the things that we talked a lot about and she shared her thoughts and advice on is to forget the old idea of networking, thinking about making connections, whether it's on LinkedIn or if you're out at an event, and to start instead of thinking of just meeting other people, connecting human to human and not looking for those transactional relationships. What can someone do for me? But instead, meet people with no expectations. And perhaps you may meet a new friend. So on with the show. Can you just share a little bit about kind of how you define networking?
Oh yeah. I literally have a point here. I made notes for you, Annette. My first point here literally says definition of networking, old versus new. That's literally how I wanted to start. Mm-hmm. And just to add to what you said earlier, I work with senior level, C-suite clients who are going through a career transition, and the idea of networking gives them the heebie-jeebies. So honestly, this definition that I'm about to share, it's got to go. The definition I got when I Googled it this morning was in the Oxford English Dictionary. And it says, and I quote, "The action or process of interacting with others to exchange information and develop professional or social contacts." Now, I think that this is the way things were done for a very long time, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s for the most part. 2020, especially with COVID being the accelerator for people wanting something else, it has changed. And I always looked at networking differently. I never liked the word networking. And I got to tell you, I started my career in software recruitment. And for me, the word networking didn't mean what it means in the social context. For me, it was about Cisco routers. So networking as a term for me belongs there, not between humans, because we're not, nodes. We are not programs. We're not physical things connecting computers. So the best definition that I have seen, and I love this and I vouch for this, we were chatting backstage about, I think I mentioned it now, GE Capital. So it's interesting. So Jack Welch, he passed a couple of years ago. So his latest wife, right? So Susie Welch, I love this definition. She wrote an article on CNBC back in 2019. And she says, don't bother networking. Don't bother. Make friends instead. Because human beings help friends. They don't help contacts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think we also need to revisit the definition of friends. We have friends which are our close circle of friends. That doesn't mean every single person belongs in that close circle, right? You have acquaintances that you know, but then you've got people in the middle. And what's happened is very interesting because of COVID, and I'm going to talk about that. I'll talk about that in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So yes, so this is how I would define networking. Make friends and stay in touch. That's it.
Yeah, you know, I love that. And I think of it too as, you know, if I'm looking for a new vet, where do I go? I go to my friends and ask. And that's, you know, and so that's like, that's what I think of, which is kind of that definition of just friends. And if you, you know, you can exchange things. And sometimes it's the last time, like we refinanced our home. We did it through someone that I'd known for 10 years. And it just happened like, oh, I know so-and-so. And it's just those, you know, but I love that too. And I think that about LinkedIn, people think of it as, oh, I'm, you know, making my connections and you're really meeting other humans.
I my sink is broken and I need a plumber. I'm going to speak to a friend of mine. I'm not networking with her. I'm asking her for help and she's helping me out. Right.
Yep.
So the same thing works in the professional sphere. Exactly what you said. LinkedIn gets a bad rap simply for the purpose of the way some marketeers approach it. Oh. And they sell that and they actually make a lot of money selling that. So people think, oh, that must be true then. And it isn't. Not for those who are interested in the long game. So I was talking about friends, connections, and I was talking about acquaintances. You know, it's very interesting with LinkedIn. It's somewhere in the middle because I met so many people through LinkedIn. They've come on my show. They've come on my podcast. I don't think of them as acquaintances because, you know, we will talk on the show or off the show. We'll talk about things that are going on in their lives, you know, mm-hmm. a child who's very ill or they're going through a divorce. You don't share that with an acquaintance. So, I mean, I tell my husband all the time. So I have this friend in Chicago. He's like, how many friends? Have you even met her? I'm like, no, I haven't physically. I haven't physically met her. But where does it say that I have to have physically met her to have, you know? And these are people who refer, you know, like with you, I'm sure, refer clients all the time. Like, I know someone, you're looking for something in this particular area. I think you should speak with her. And Jay says, you know, referrals. But it isn't coming from that intention. It's about just making friends and staying in touch. It's not because I need something from you. Because when that other person can smell that from a mile away, you've lost before you even entered the room.
Oh, let's get into some of those big networking moves. So I know you have some things to share. So
I think the first one is let's not make it hard. Let's not make it complicated because when we hear big, bold, we think it's scary and it's probably not for me, right? And particularly the introverts in the room tend to withdraw. And something interesting happened during COVID. I became quite quiet. I became quite withdrawn. I started a podcast. I was listening more than I was speaking. So the classic definition, I don't like stereotypes, introvert, extrovert, who knows, ambivert, wherever you think you are in that spectrum. The first thing I want to share is every single time you meet a human being, even a dog or a cat, because they have owners, right? They have a family they belong to. Every single time is an opportunity. Now, if you go to work physically, whether it's in the car, on the bus, you know, in the tram, in the cafeteria, so many opportunities, they're around us. You don't have to look for them. You're surrounded by people. And as social beings, we need people. Mm-hmm. So opportunities are everywhere, and I'm going to give tips on how we go about it. But I'm just like, I want us to kind of re-remember this because it's like a dentist office. And I'm going to talk about that hairdresser.
Oh, what?
So yeah. For people, yeah. But for people who are going to a physical space, it is so much easier. Now, for those who work from home, one thing that is in your favor and you have it at the tip is your phone. So social media is your savior. However, it's like, I think of it as a hop on, hop off. You know, those buses in London and, you know, like they're like hop on and then hop off. Social media should be like a get on and get off type of thing, which means interact with each other, have fun with each other, and then get off of social media and get on Zoom together if you're in two different cities or two different countries, because the intimacy and the connection is different. And it's not like, oh, I need something, so let me have a Zoom with her. Sure, you can share your problems because you've already been interacting so much. And I consider these people like my friends. Like when I was ill and I was in hospital, there was, you know, Kevin or G, they're sending me flowers. They knew more about what was happening in my world than my own school friends who live in a different city. So the point is, take those connections off of LinkedIn or whichever social media you have, and serendipity, which is like where, when, how, it will happen when your eyes are open, when your eyes are open and you're willing to just look and not maybe walk, for example, walk with your phone. I'm not being judgmental because I'm on my phone and I'm working on my phone, but it's amazing how many things you see when you are in public spaces. So that is the first thing. And I also want to share, just be you. No, nothing is wrong with you. No need to fix yourself. Okay. If you're like, I don't like this, I don't like that. Do what feels natural to you. Slightly uncomfortable is a good thing because you're growing. But it's amazing. So for some people, rich white dudes, it's the golf links. And that's great. For somebody else, it could be the dog agrees with me. For somebody else, it could be like I was at the hairdresser and this lady was talking and I was like, oh, interesting. And so what do you do? And it, I ended up like getting a client and it was just, and this comes to another point. When I say just be you, just tap into your strengths that you already have. You do not have to pretend or, you know, take it up a notch and then come home really tired because it completely took all the energy out of you. Mm-hmm. I remember because my hairdresser is Turkish and she doesn't speak a lot of English. So it's French and I speak French with her. And every time she has someone and they're, you know, they're chatty next door and I'm like, oh, what do you do, et cetera, et cetera. Like, oh, your husband's an ExxonMobil. Oh, I see. So you're an expatriated wife. How are you doing? Oh, you're Belgian. You've never lived in Belgium. How is that going? And then like da-di-da-di-da, exchange numbers. Oh, you're looking for a house. And I want to help them. And that lady, my hairdresser told me, you're really good at this. And my kids were with me and they were so embarrassed. They were like, stop talking. Why can't you just be quiet? You know, one is a teenager and one is a preteen. And he's like, oh my God, Ma, like, you know, you think you're like a social media influencer. I'm actually not at all. I just enjoy talking to random strangers. And that serendipity thing is like, oh, I know I met this person and she's looking for a house. She's looking for a job. I know so-and-so at PNG. Random. Mm-hmm. Totally random, comes from nowhere, and it came naturally to me. Somebody else didn't like it. A stranger, like my hairdresser, acknowledged it. So it's like, oh, I never realized it actually. I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
You know, I'm laughing hysterically because I am like that, and my husband gets embarrassed. I'm talking to people. I'm at Trader Joe's shopping, and I'm like, and I'm looking, and I'm like, and I'm talking to people. Oh, if I see something in somebody's cart, oh, I'm thinking of trying that. What's it like? I love to chat with people. I think I got that from years of bartending, where I just, you know, I feel comfortable talking to anybody, and I think that was one of the best things from kind of having that job. And it's just, you know, without having that preconceptions when you meet people. Just meet them.
Very, very related to what I was going to say next. Preconceived. So what is your enemy when it comes to, firstly, we said we don't like the word networking. We got to change that. We talked about, yes, you know, making friends and staying in touch. What is the enemy of this? The enemy of this is a confirmation mindset. And I'm going to explain. The best friend of this is a curiosity mindset. Simple, simple. If you think you're not that curious anymore, just look around you with kids. But why? But why? But why? They're annoying AF, but holy heck, they learn. They learn because they ask questions. And there is no such thing as a bad question. A curiosity mindset is like, okay, I met, I'll talk about the confirmation, the bad one, right? So I meet Annette at an event for personal brand professionals. All right. And I'm there, I'm sipping my drink and she's there and I'm like, hi, so what do you do? So I am, let's say, currently between jobs. Like, I want to be a personal brand strategist, so I'm learning from people around, but I've just been laid off, right? So I'm going to say, oh, I'm currently between jobs. So Annette, and I'm not saying, no, I'm just having fun role play.
No, of course.
And Annette is going to be like, oh, not exactly client material. Let me just withdraw to the next person. You know, like slide.
Always be looking, right? Yeah.
So a confirmation mindset is telling her that a person between jobs is not interesting and they have nothing to offer you. All right. Same event, same two people, different day scenario. We don't know each other. So like Annette says, hey, Sonal, so what do you do? I'm currently between jobs right now. Oh, I see. So what were you doing before? I used to run, I used to be chief marketing officer at a branding agency. And I decided after 25 years, I think it's time for a break. So I'm going to go off on an adventure in Madagascar and set up a not-for-profit. And she's like, whoa, this woman's led a colorful life. I want to be in her energy. I want to learn from her. Now, if she hadn't asked, what were you doing before, this conversation would have ended right there. So I can't tell you how many times when we have the confirmation mindset, we are inadvertently shooting ourselves in the foot because we make assumptions. Oh, this is a finance professional. He must be boring. This is a person between jobs. They have nothing to offer me. And, you know, who knows? Maybe yes and maybe no. People say, dig your well before you are thirsty. I'm like, hello, I'm always thirsty. It's like, you know, Pepsi back in the 80s or something. It's like, you know, you keep drinking, it never quenches your thirst. What if you're always thirsty? So it's not a one-time thing. Right. And you're not digging your well before you're thirsty. You're just digging your well because that is the only way to get to the water. There is no other way. And it's not about like, oh, let me see what I can do and then I'll ask for a favor. But when you already have that relationship and both sides are honest, it's like, Annette, actually, I'm struggling with something. I wonder if I can talk to you for 5 minutes. She'll be like, yes, how can I help you? You don't have to try that hard. Why? Because when Annette needed it, I listened, you know. Yeah, so it comes from a very good old fashioned thing called reciprocity. You just don't be a dick. Sorry. Just be nice.
No, I am with you.
Just be a nice person. When you're a nice person and you listen, the other person's like, hey, Sonal, what can I do for you? And I'm like, as a matter of fact, I'm glad you asked. There's something on my mind and I'm really excited to work at this company and I don't know who can refer me, but I see that you told me your husband, oh, let me make a call, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't feel, you know, sleazy. And you didn't do this because you needed some. Sometimes we need something. That's okay. But, you know, it's a little foreplay sometimes. You know, you just don't immediately go in for the, especially when there is no context, there's no relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. I just love this whole idea, and it's so refreshing for me to listen to you talk about this and to share this. I'm so happy that you're sharing this with people who are watching this now and will be listening later and on the podcast, because it's just, there's so many of these misconceptions. And I think if the a big thing of it is just looking at people as other humans, another human. And it's so true. Like, I work with a lot of people in financial services, executives. And one of the things I always ask people is, you know, what's something that would surprise me about you? Because I'm curious. I'd like to know a little bit about them. And I've had people tell me, oh, I built my house with my own hands, or I used to play professional basketball or things like this. And it's like, oh, how cool. And people are interesting. They're interesting. It's very unusual to ever meet someone, for me anyway, that I wouldn't want to have, you know, a 15-minute conversation with.
But, you know, the whole thing about BU is so underrated, I can't tell you. And you know, like when I'm live on LinkedIn, I'm a little goofy and I like my large cup of tea and my hair was not. And I remember my mom was watching once and she was like, you know, you'd be better off putting it like this. And why don't you change your clothes? And I'm like, that's not who I am. Right? Or sometimes I'm snarky because there's a comment which I don't like. And if I see it repeatedly, it is who I am. Not only are you enough, just the way you are, actually, you're more than enough. And that is what is so wrong and so much in shortage in the world, because we have been conditioned for so many years. This is the way to be impressive. Yes, I train. I know, I teach. You know, I help my clients. Yes, of course, you have to be impressive in an interview. Yes, of course, we want to get that job. You know, sometimes there's a power imbalance. I get that, but not at the cost of your peace of mind. And you know, I put up this front because I shared that I like golf because it'll help from a networking point of view. Sooner or later, that stuff catches up with us, and mm-hmm. you know, and it's not worth it because there'll be trends. And you'll be told you have to ride these trends. You know, have a selfie. Today was National Selfie Day. you'll almost never catch me doing that duck face thing. I will never, almost never talk about my family. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just not for me. So we're talking about something else now, but it does affect how you show up in networking as well.
Yeah. 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 So Paula gets our message. Yes, Paula, we love you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Such a treat. So you were about to go into a thing for job
seekers. Yeah, very quick thing. This was my first viral post that went out in August 2020. It had like 1.3 million views. And I couldn't, like, it was a full-time job just replying to those comments. And it was a boring text post that I didn't think twice about. And LinkedIn featured it in its news. It was nuts. And the topic was hobbies on the resume. Yes or no? So, and I wrote why. One of the reasons I like putting hobbies on the resume and not reading, swimming, listening to music, writing, movies, hello, I've already forgotten about it. I'm going to sleep. Just like, okay, reading, I'm on my latest Jeffrey Archer, or golf, I have a 8 handicap, whatever, you know. Cooking, I'm currently known for the best brownies on the block. Something, or crochet, nutty stuff, but something you love. The reason is because recruiters are human beings and it's about making a connection. And there were some hate comments and they were pretty violent. And some of them said, you're creating a bias. I'm like, no, there is no bias, whether it's golf or crochet, if it's free, if it's paid, it doesn't matter. Country club membership. The point is you're making a connection with the other person. Mm-hmm. And they will want to call you. And they will want to, at the end, I can't tell you how many times my clients are like, oh, this guy wanted to talk about the rock festival in Belgium because he's a big fan. And I wrote that I play in this band. They connected on it. And yes, there is bias. Of course there is bias. There's positive bias and there's confirmation bias, which is good. Which is good. And it serves you. And, you know, too bad for other candidates. But take advantage of things that make you interesting and different. And if you put them on the resume already, you have got ahead of the networking before it even you could even meet another human being, because now people will know you as the person who does that and other, you know, things like your day job. But I don't know, 90-95% of recruiters who saw that post said, oh yeah, this works. I have this example and that example. So like we talked about in the beginning, every single opportunity that you are with a human being, if you open your eyes to a curiosity mindset versus a confirmation mindset, is an opportunity to make a friend.
So what sort of final thoughts do you have to kind of wrap this up before we say goodbye?
You know, just remember that it is not as scary as it might look. For example, you're at an event and there's a speaker and then you're like, I want to, you know, that person really, something spoke to my soul and I want to connect with them. I want to talk to them after the event. And you're like, but everyone's going to do that. There's going to be a long line. No, just do it. Actually, you know, they want to hear from you. They want to hear, and not fangirling, but genuinely what you liked and what you took away. And they'll be like, can I stay? Can I connect with you? They'll be like, yes. So don't make those assumptions from a confirmation mindset that if this person looks important, that means they are not accessible.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people are just nice, right? I mean, most people are nice. They're
99.9% of people are nice. And the 0.1%, that is that word that was censored that Leonard knows, they don't speak for the rest of us. They don't. Unfortunately, the world gives them a pretty huge microphone, but they don't represent the rest of us.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Sona Bahal and perhaps picked up a few insights as well. She is a fabulous career strategist and her company is Supercharge. She also does a weekly LinkedIn Live called Supercharge Fridays on Fridays, of course. Absolutely, you should follow her on LinkedIn. She is a wealth of information and very generous with her knowledge. I also hope that this episode has perhaps shifted your thinking. If you've been looking at meeting people on LinkedIn or at events as making connections, that you will begin to think of it as meeting other humans, meeting people without expectations, just a sense of curiosity. And that may help you to even meet a new friend. So again, thanks for being here with me. And if you found this conversation insightful, please do share it with a friend. I bet they'll thank you. And I'll be seeing you soon. Thanks for tuning into the Content Marketing Show with me, Annette Richmond. If today's insights have inspired and resonated with you, please share this episode. And if you haven't already, hit the follow button to keep learning and growing with us. Wait, before you go, are you struggling to create original content because you don't know what to say? Download a copy of 25 content ideas to kickstart your social media posts for people who don't know what to say. Use the link in the show notes or visit contentmarketingschoolonline.com. That's contentmarketingschoolonline.com.